The text for the lesson this morning is Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. I'll be reading from the New American Standard. Matthew 2, 1 through 12. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time and the star appeared. And he sent to them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child, and when you have found him, report to me, so that I too may come and worship him." After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way.
We bid you a pleasant good morning. We thank you for being in our worship assembly today. We thank you for following along with our text in the Bible as we discuss a passage of Scripture that usually is read this time of year. It's special in the minds of people during this particular time of the year. We hear very much about it. We hear songs on the radio sometimes referring to these particular wise men. Matthew tells us that Magi from the east arrived in the city of Jerusalem. We have no way to prove conclusively who these men really were. There's a lot of people who make comments about who they think they were. The translators have to translate the term in some particular way. It's translated Magi from the east in the New American Standard Bible. Other translations use different things. Whether they were astrologers or magicians or philosophers or some kind of spiritual leaders and advisors to Persian kings, maybe, we do not really know, because the Word of God doesn't reveal that for us, so it's not important for us to know that. Some have suggested, because of the mention of these men and one translation that refers to them not as magi but as astrologers, that passage indicates to us that you and I should study the stars to figure out what God wants us to do, or that we should read our horoscopes in the newspapers every day in order to see what is in store for us in our lives. I think that's a pretty far stretch. The three gifts have given rise to the belief that there were only three wise men who came to worship Jesus on this occasion. But you and I could easily figure out that maybe 200 men could carry three gifts. The number of the men that came is not given for us. We don't know how many there were. We do know that they arrived in Bethlehem. When did they arrive? We usually see portrayals of a scene of the arrival of three wise men at the time that Jesus was born and lying in a manger with his parents tenderly caring for him. Looking on are animals and shepherds and these three wise men. But this is Most probably not the case. Some unknown amount of time had passed since Jesus was born and lay in a manger in Bethlehem. Matthew states that when the Magi located him, the family was residing in a house in chapter 2 and verse 11. But what is significant about these men is what we do know. Not that the stars revealed to them that the Son of God would be born. You and I can't look at the stars on a clear night and learn anything about the purposes and intentions of God aside from God's revelation. God must have revealed something to them and must have indicated to them that they would be able to find the one they were looking for by following a star. So we know who led them there. We know that it was Almighty God. We know their purpose for coming. The Bible doesn't tell us about whether their lives were righteous or unrighteous. The Bible doesn't tell us if they were Gentiles or Jews. The Bible tells us the purpose they had in coming to find this child, to worship this King of the Jews. And from a practical standpoint, their gifts provided the parents of Jesus with the funds they would need to flee from the aggression of King Herod and go into the foreign country to live. God does not leave his people destitute. Let's use this account today to provide some lessons for us that we could take away and that may become practical in our lives at any time of year, not just in December. In the first place, wise men seek Jesus. That's what these wise men did. Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. And why not worship Jesus Christ? He's the only way to the Father. John wrote in his Gospel, chapter 14 and verse 6, that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me." He is the only hope that we have as a Savior in this life. In Luke 2, in his Gospel, in verse 11, an angel of the Lord appeared to shepherds and said, "For today in the city of David there has been born unto you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. He is also able to save forever." The Hebrew writer wrote in Hebrews 7 and verse 25, "Those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." Where is it that Jesus can be found by wise men today? Is it not in his word? Can we not find Jesus in the word of God? John wrote in his gospel in chapter 5 and verse 39 and said, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me." Jesus can be found in God's house. To his parents, he said, "Why is it you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my Father's house?" In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, Paul told Timothy, "I'm writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long. But in case I am delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth." Do we not know that the Lord can be found at the Lord's table on the first day of the week when we gather together as Christians to memorialize his death on the cross? In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16, Paul wrote to the Corinthians and asked them, "Is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ?" We share in the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. He's found in his memorial supper on the first day of the week for every Christian. The Lord is also found in the hearts of Christians. As Paul wrote to the Ephesians and said in Ephesians 3 and verse 17, "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." And he does dwell in our hearts through faith, doesn't he? The faith that comes from God's word is where we find Jesus. And wise men do still seek him today, don't they? Secondly, wise men follow God's guidance in order to find Jesus. That's what these wise men did. After hearing the king, they went on their way, and the star which they'd seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. That star that God provided for them was not the usual star that was found in the sky. It's called a star. It's likened to what a star would look like. But this star moved and divinely directed them to the place where Jesus was. As the star led the wise men to Christ, God's Word leads us to Christ today every time we open it and every time we consider it. However, many did not follow it. When Jesus told people in his day, from John 5 and verse 39, that you search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and they are these that testify about me, the next verse says that he told them, you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life. So there are many people who are unwilling to come to Jesus and receive the life that he offers. Man needs God's guidance because of the limits of human reason. The reasoning of man cannot lead a man to God. The only thing that can lead a man to God is his revelation, what he has revealed in his word. Although one does not want to underestimate the value of the ability of humans to reason, it is good to recognize the limits of human reason. David said long ago in Psalm 119 and verse 19, I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. David recognized that he would not have the knowledge that he needed to live righteously before God unless God gave it to him, unless God revealed his commandments. Such a statement emphasizes man's need for divine guidance in every phase of his life, doesn't it? There are some things which man cannot know and understand without divine revelation. We couldn't know if there were many gods or one God unless God revealed that to us. We couldn't know if God was good or if he was evil unless God revealed that to us. You and I would not know how to live our lives to please God unless he revealed it to us, would we? We wouldn't be able to know what is right and what is wrong. Without the Bible, man is truly at sea without a compass. He is blown about by the various winds that change direction. He's in a desert without a guide. He's in an enemy's camp without a friend. Without the Word of God, we can't know the great God of this universe and how he truly blesses the lives of those who follow him. David recognized this total dependence upon God and his revelation for his guidance in life. And you and I should take a lesson from that and learn that God shows us the way to live. Wise men follow God's guidance in order to find Jesus. Thirdly, wise men are not ashamed to ask for help. When they came to Jerusalem, they asked for help in locating Christ. Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw a star in the east and have come to worship him. They're asking for help. They're asking for directions. Do you realize that these are men asking for directions? Have you ever thought about that? But they are. They couldn't be proud men, too proud to ask for help from anyone. They're asking directions. From prophecy, Micah 5 and verse 2, the scribes could tell them that he was to be born in Bethlehem in the land of Judah in verse 6 of Matthew 2. This information from the Word of God helped them find the Christ. They asked for help and they received help. The right kind of help. They received a passage from the Word of God that told them the answer. Similarly, the Ethiopian eunuch read from the book of Isaiah a prophecy concerning Christ as he was traveling home to Ethiopia, but he didn't understand it until Philip, beginning from this scripture, preached unto him Jesus Christ in Acts 8 and verse 35. He was reading a section of scripture from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 53, verses 7 and 8. and Philip was able to help him. But the Ethiopian eunuch would not have received help had he not been humble enough in mind to ask for help. Notice that the help provided by Philip, the right source for the help that he needed, resulted in the chariot stopping, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. In Acts 8, 38 and 39, the Ethiopian eunuch was not too proud to ask for help. And he asked the right source, and he got the right answer, and he availed himself of the blessings that were for him. There is, however, a warning related to asking for help. The wise men were answered with Scripture, recall. The eunuch was answered by a Christian who was led by the Holy Spirit to give him the right answer. Christians have this warning today from 1 John 4 and verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but try the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Wise men are not ashamed to ask for help. Fourthly, wise men worship Jesus. Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have come to worship him. The Bible tells us that even the angels of God worship Jesus in Hebrews 1 and verse 6. And when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, and let all the angels of God worship him. Those who are pictured before the throne of God in the glorious heavenly scene in the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 5, 11 through 14. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them, I heard saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. And the four living creatures kept saying, amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. What a glorious scene that is. Giving worship to the Lamb that was slain for our sins, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Christ is worthy of all praise and adoration, all accountable people really should worship him. However wise one may think himself to be, or whatever high position one may occupy in this life, any man who fails to honor and worship Jesus Christ will prove himself to be anything but wise. Wise men worship Jesus Christ. Number five, wise men sometimes stir up opposition, and most of the time they will. Wise men will, because not everyone in life wants to avail themselves of the wisdom available from wise men. Herod did not like someone else being identified as the King of the Jews. The wise men were warned by God not to return to Herod. Joseph was warned by an angel of the Lord in a dream to flee to Egypt because, in Matthew 2 and verse 13, Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him. Matthew tells us in chapter 2 and verse 16 that Herod became very enraged and sent and slew all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its vicinity, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the Magi. What a horrible day that must have been. Though Christ came into the world to do good, to seek and to save the lost, he was bitterly opposed from his infancy all the way to his death on the cross. The righteous and devout man, Simeon, came in the Spirit to the temple of God in the city of Jerusalem and prophesied to Jesus' mother when she was there to offer the sacrifice according to the law. Luke 2, verse 34 and 35, here's what he said by the voice of God. Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your own soul, he said to his mother, to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Jesus would bring God's message, and those who were evil would not come to the light, lest their deeds be exposed in John 3, 19 through 20. When responsibility was passed to Jesus' disciples, the apostles, to carry on the work, to carry on with the preaching of the gospel to a lost world, they were also opposed with violent persecution. Paul observed in Acts 14, verse 22, Paul and Barnabas had been to Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. The Jews, because of their jealousy and their opposition to the preaching of Paul and Barnabas, attempted to take Paul's life by stoning him to death. And Paul told the brethren, the disciples in those cities, that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. He wrote Timothy later and said in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, indeed all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Christians will be thought of as strange, Peter said in 1 Peter 4, 3 through 4, and will be opposed because of their righteous lifestyle. They don't run to the same excesses of right as people in the world. They will be opposed because of their righteousness, 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 17. Wise men will stir up opposition because not everyone appreciates the wisdom that they have. Number 6, they experience great joy in finding Jesus. Did you notice that in verses 9 and 10? The star went before them, it came over, stood over the place where Jesus was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy, the scriptural record tells us. Doing God's will brings joy, doesn't it? Doesn't it bring extreme joy when we realize that we can understand God's will and we can do it? And we know that it pleases our Heavenly Father. Rising from the waters of baptism, a new creature in Christ, the Ethiopian eunuch went on his way rejoicing, we're told in the Bible in Acts 8 and verse 39. When the Philippian jailer and his family learned the gospel and obeyed it, he rejoiced greatly with all of his house in Acts 16 in verse 34. Even in the face of persecution, even in the face of deprivation and difficulty and problems and hardships, faithful Christians can experience the peace of God because they walk in Christ and they know God and God knows them, a peace which surpasses all comprehension, Paul said in Philippians 4 and verse 7. This is truly something to live for, isn't it? You know how tragic it is that we're surrounded by people in life who really don't have any reason for living, who really don't have a purpose in life. And they go about sad many times with all kinds of difficulties and problems with no one to help. It's a bad thing to realize that in the lives of other people and the difficulties that they live under because they don't know a God who will overwhelmingly bless them if they will live for Him. Something to live for. Live for Jesus Christ. That's where the greatest joy is found. Wise men experience great joy in following Jesus Christ. Number 7, wise men give of their resources to Christ. Notice in verse 11, opening their treasures, they presented Him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Precious things. Since the earth is the Lord's and all it contains, according to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 26, there's nothing that really belongs to you and I. We are mere stewards of the things that we possess in this life. The government says that we can legally own some things, but when we look into the Bible, we know that everything really belongs to God, doesn't it? There's only one way the Lord has provided for the financial support of His work, and that's by the free will offering and free will giving of the followers of God who have determined to support His work and continue His work by giving as His people have been prospered in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. In the case of the wise men, it really appears that their giving these gifts was an act that was done completely willingly. There's no hint at compulsion that they felt forced to give them something or under some kind of compulsion to do so. It was a free will gift to the one who would be king. Christians must support the Lord's work with the same type of attitudes that these men had. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7, each one must do just as he's purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Wise men give of their resources to Christ. And then finally, wise men continue to obey. In verse 12 of Matthew 2, having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. You see, they continued to follow the instruction of God. Those who are wise follow exactly the instruction of God without deviation. No deviation. No turning back. Jesus said, no one after putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God in Luke 9 and verse 62. You and I may find ourselves in obedience to God for a while. But then later, when temptation comes and overwhelms us for some reason, we can fall away most easily. And that's very unwise, isn't it? Peter said in 2 Peter 2, 20 and 21, for if after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and are again entangled and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn away from the holy commandment handed on to them. You see, it is possible for a Christian to fall away, but it's not wise for us to do that. Wise men do what it takes to be faithful to the Lord and to realize the ease in which falling away could come upon them. And they take steps to prevent that. Wise men continue to obey the Lord. God has provided a star for the wise men. They were wise to follow it. And when they followed it, they found Jesus Christ. God has provided His Word for us. The Bible records the words of David in one of the most beautiful Word of God honoring and supporting passages that there is in the Bible, Psalm 119. One of those verses, David told us that God's Word is a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. And that's still true today, isn't it? Wise men recognize that. Wise men want other people to recognize that too. It will be great wisdom if they do. Those who are wise follow God's Word. What about you today? Are you a wise person? If you are, you availed yourself of lessons like this about what wise people do. And that's what you want to do. And that's what I want to do. If you're in our assembly today and you've come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, just as the Scriptures teach us, and you're ready now to obey His will by repenting of your sins, confessing His name before this assembly, being baptized in water for the remission of sins, we can help you with that this morning. If we can help you in another way, if you have fallen away, if you have become unfaithful, if you have sinned in a public way that needs correction, you can confess that to God. We can pray with you and pray for you that He'll forgive you and restore you to His kingdom. If that is your need today, we can help you with that. whatever we can do, if we can study with you some more and answer some of your questions from the Word of God, we'd be happy to do that. However we may be of service to you as God's servants, to help you walk closer to God when you leave here today than when you first walked in, we'd be delighted to do that, if we can. Please respond to the invitation of the Lord. Come to the front, tell me about it, while we stand together and encourage you by singing the invitation song number 391. May God bless you today.